About 7 or 8 years ago, the seniors at Tullahoma High School were given a vote as to whether or not to have a baccalaureate sermon. It just so happened that that was the year that I was to bring the baccalaureate sermon, if it were to be. And I happened to find out the vote that the seniors had. They voted 50-50. And the principal decided to go ahead and have the baccalaureate sermon. And so I decided that what I did on that occasion might determine whether or not there was another, and so I prepared a 12-minute sermon. And I don't think I've ever spoken in the church or out when I got more favorable comments than I did on that 12-minute sermon. And I expect that if that's what it takes to get comments, that I may get several tonight. I planned one of the shortest lessons that I've planned in a long time, because today has been and is a busy day. There's the event tonight of the baccalaureate service at Chester County High at 8 o'clock. And I know that the seniors and the families need to be there much earlier. We do need to meet tonight with the young folks that are working in the VBS for just a few minutes after the service. And so our service will be shorter tonight than it usually is. But we're glad you're here. And I think that it's not the time of the service as much as it is what we do while we're there and whether or not we get something that we can take with us. If you're an English teacher and in the audience tonight, I beg your permission to use a sentence in the way that it's not normally used and to end it with a preposition. We have more things to live with than we have to live for. That statement has been made and may be too true in too many instances. We live in a time when we are so well blessed with things. And yet sometimes we come up short when we think about goals and concepts and qualities of life. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 13, Paul gave some very outstanding words. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their own desires, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Who mind earthly things. And then over in the next chapter at verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, where in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." During this last week, Judy and I spent 5 days at the place where I was born and reared. I had the opportunity to be with Dad and Mother in a week that I appreciate so much from that standpoint. But I was reminded of some of the things that existed and some of the things that we did not have when I was growing up as a youngster and as a teenager in that very house and on that very farm. And I must admit to you, comparatively speaking, we've made a lot of progress in my lifetime. And when I say we, I mean people in general. If you compare where we are today and what we have, especially from the standpoint of technology, we have made a great deal of progress in my lifetime. I visited this afternoon with Brother Jewel Sims, who's almost 94 years of age. Do you realize that when he was born, that the Wright brothers had still not flown that first airplane? And now in his lifetime, while he's still alive, we've seen people go to the moon. We've seen people accomplish so much even in the space endeavors in our country, and that's just in the lifetime of one person. That's in less than a century of time. And many of us that are here tonight can remember almost back to that time that the airplane did not exist. Look at where we are today. When we go to work in the morning in the church office, we'll have a computer sitting there on the desk. My father-in-law was a preacher of the gospel, and I have seen and had in my possession at one time the old wire recorder that he had to record sermons. This past week in the meeting where I preached, the sermons were videoed. He had the old wire recorder. Many of you have never even seen one like that. We've made such progress in our lifetime. But because of that, it may very well be true that today we have too many things to live with and not enough to live for. And I would especially address our graduates and our young folks with this idea. I just want to make four suggestions to you tonight along this line. Many times we have the things to live with and don't have the goals to live for. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We look not at the things that are in this world, the things that are temporal, but we look at the things that are unseen. We look at those things that are eternal." And there he is suggesting what we ought to do, that we ought to look at those things that are eternal. It's not uncommon today to ask a high school graduate, "What do you plan to do in life?" and have him say, "I don't know." "What do you want out of life?" "I don't really know." Now, I know in some ways there are still many decisions that are being made at age 17 or 18. But look at that 17 or 18-year-old and look at all the things that he has. Look at all the gadgets that are available. All of the gadgets in the area of communication and transportation, just to name two areas of life. A teenager today has in his possessions things that our grandparents and great-grandparents never even dreamed would exist. And yet most of the time, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, some of whom married at age 15 and 16 because that was the only way for them to have a life, and many times when they married back at that time, they had practically nothing as they started together, and even if they started out in some kind of career, many of them on the farm, they had very little, maybe a mule or two and two or three plows. But they knew what they wanted in life, and they had some goals ahead. Sometimes more so than we have today. I like what Paul said here when he said, "I press toward the mark. I'm looking ahead. I have something out yonder that I want to reach." Thank God for the things that we have today if we have the goals toward which to go. But too many times we have the things to live with and don't have the goals to live for. Along that same line, but just magnifying the point a bit, we have so many tools to live with, and yet many times so few ethical and moral principles to live for. Wherever you go to work tomorrow, whatever your job is, just think about the tools with which you have to work that a generation or so ago they did not have. And yet there are very few businesses today, but that there is the discussion involved concerning ethics on the job. Whether or not the workers will be honest with the one who is the owner of the business, and whether he can expect them to deal with his equipment and produce his product in an honest and decent way. We have so many tools with which to work. And yet so many times those honest, decent, moral principles are not present. So much to live with and sometimes so little to live for. What is it worth if all the computers are there? And the one who's operating that computer is not honest with himself and with his boss, if I may use this word in that way. In some instances, the very tools of the trade that can be so helpful become the downfall of the business. If there is a person who has so much to live with and so little to live for. I believe the same thing is true when we think about the subject of health. There has never been a time, with all the problems that we have, that there has been more knowledge and more answers to medical problems than today. Many of us have had situations develop in our own families, even in the last few days, where it's just beyond our belief to understand what doctors are able to do. Things that would not have even been imagined by doctors a few years ago. For almost any illness today, there is a pill, or there is a procedure, or a process that can make life longer and of better quality for most of us. Oh, I know there are some things for which there's not an answer. We're still fighting the cancer problem, for example, and the heart problem. And these are problems that are there toward which we are working to find the answer. But generally speaking, we have the answer for most of our health problems to where we could be if we use what's available much healthier, and certainly we're living longer lives than any generation has ever lived before. And yet, has there ever been a generation that's had more mental illness than ours? And more spiritual problems than ours? It may be that we have the pills to live with and very little peace to live for. That peace of mind that's discussed that passeth all understanding in between the two passages we read there a few minutes ago in Philippians, over in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 4, is something that escapes so many people today. I wonder how many of the high school seniors that'll be graduating this week, and I'm not just talking about here in our area, but I mean across the board, if really asked and told the truth, how many of them are happy? Young people, my mother went to the 8th grade 3 years to try to be ready to go on to high school if she got an opportunity, and never had that opportunity because of the size of the family and the lack of money to allow her to go to high school. She wanted to go to high school so badly that she went back to the 8th grade 2 more years just to keep her mind in tune, and then did not get to go to high school. Look at all the opportunities that are there for us today. So many times, we have the physical medicine for our physical needs, and we don't turn to God and to mutual encouragement by one another to meet our spiritual needs and our mental needs. I think in the area of rights and responsibilities, we see this same thing. We have more rights to live with today than we've ever had. And yet for so many, not only younger people, but older ones alike, there are not enough responsibilities to live for, responsibilities that are accepted, to put our shoulders to the task. In too many instances, we have too much to live with and not enough to live for. Look at the area of fun, pleasure, having ease, having a life of ease. We have so much to live with. And all pleasure is not bad. All fun is not bad. And being able to do something in an easier manner is not bad in and of itself. Look at all these things that we have today that make it possible for us to have fun and to have pleasure and to be able to have an easier life. And yet again, I reemphasize something that I said earlier. How many people are unhappy, and how few people are there who really have a life filled with joy and can go to bed at night and say, I'm glad I'm alive, and get up the next morning and say, I'm glad I'm alive. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm glad that I can live it. I believe the answer may very well be in that we have too many things to live with and not enough to live for. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that we get rid of those things that we live with. I'm not suggesting that we go back. I hear people say sometimes they think that it'd be good for America if they had to go back to the Depression years. I'm not suggesting that. I don't want that. I'm not suggesting that we get rid of the things. What I am suggesting is that we set our goals and our principles of ethics and our mental balance and our spiritual balance, if you will, in our lives in the right way, to where we look at those responsibilities and those opportunities and not just consider our rights and our things. And let's take the things that we live with and let's use them to help us to have something to live for. And when we really set our goals, number one, heaven, and number two, serving man while we're here on earth, and we set those goals and we have our philosophy of life in place, then we can take all these things and point to that philosophy. And we'll have the things to live with and we'll have something to live for. And I believe I know the answer of how to do that. The answer is found in Christ. Because, you see, in Christ, as a Christian, a person can take all these things in the world and he can set his goal with Christ and he can bring all those things to help him accomplish that goal. There's the answer. In Christ, we can have everything we need to live with and we can have everything we need to live for. There's the answer. If you're not in Christ tonight, you need to be baptized into him. If you're a wayward child of his, you need to come home. And bring all the things that you have in life and let him be your number one goal to live for him in this life. And then you can live with him in that life that is to come. Too many things to live with and not enough to live for. Christ is the answer. If you're not in him and faithful in him, come to him as together we stand and sing.
This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Be seated, please. Our closing song will be number 220.
We're certainly grateful that you're here this evening. All of those who are in the hospitals, those of whom we are aware, seem to be improving. We're thankful for that. Continue to remember them and those who've lost loved ones in your prayers. During the singing of the closing song, those of you who need to go to observe the Lord's Supper may go through either of the doors to the side of the front of the building here and across the breezeway to the educational building, and you'll be served there. I need to meet downstairs in room 2 with all young people and all of the ladies who are scheduled to teach in our Vacation Bible School here or the Inez Vacation Bible School. We'll meet about 5 minutes after the dismissal prayer, and we'll keep the meeting to about 7 minutes. And we're on schedule today. And we will give you plenty of time to get where you need to get. Is there any other announcement that needs to be made? Let's stand for our closing song and closing prayer.
Sweet are the promises.